This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is right. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram Cowboys reporter, joining us now to talk more as free agency continues to evolve. And a good afternoon, Nick. How the heck are you?
Man, can't complain, guys. It's been a busy week. Not something I say I maybe would have predicted, but it keeps us going. I've been excited by it.
Yeah, this is nice. And for anybody that missed it, Dante Fowler is back. 1 year, $6 million base, up to $8 million in incentive. A couple of other defensive linemen this week, a couple of linebackers. Now, they do lose a Tank and Jay Lou. What do you think? Are they better, than at least on defense so far, than what they were last year?
Well, they're certainly putting pieces together on defense, and that's been the big strategy so far here in free agency. I mean, we talk about these five former first-round picks that they've added. All of them have come on the defensive side of the ball, and you can look at it in all three levels. Up front, it's Peyton Turner. It's now Dante Fowler Jr. Being factored in with the young guys that they have in that room to create some competition. At the second level, it's bringing in a experienced guy like Kenneth Murray that can play there in the middle. And then in the secondary, it's Kyrie Elam. Again, competition that you can add outside corner opposite of De'Ron Bland in the case that Trayvon Diggs cannot start the season. I still think you need help at a couple of those spots. I still think you need to go get a corner in this draft, maybe two of them. I still think you need a linebacker, but they have certainly put a lot of intention forward on filling depth needs on the defensive side of the ball. It has me thinking that come draft time, we're going to see Shoddy take a big role in drafting some of these offensive players with premium picks.
So what are you thinking about running back now then? They've added Miles Sanders and then, of course, Javonte Williams. Brian just gave us a scouting report, and I had talked with a scouting buddy in Carolina. The return doesn't sound great right now on Miles Sanders. Does that change the way they're viewing running back in the draft at all, in your opinion?
No, I don't believe so. It just adds veteran experience into that room, and it gives them a couple of options instead of having to, you know, really rely on one guy. You know, they did that last year. You look back, and I think they relied on Ezekiel Elliott, and I think they would tell you that they relied on Ezekiel Elliott maybe a little too much, and it bit them in the end, and they ended up having to reshuffle that room. And fortunately for them, Rico Dowdle stepped up and ended up being a 1,000-yard rusher. But that was more so luck than anything, being able to land on a guy like Rico in that sense. So having a guy like Miles Sanders, it allows some flexibility in that room. But I think also you look at training camp and how that position room might fill out. This is do or die for Deuce Vaughn. It's going to be his time to try to earn a roster spot and show that he can provide some value to the offense.
Nick, it doesn't seem like the Cooper Kupp stuff is going to unfold, but do you feel like they're serious about trying to go get one of these veteran wide receivers that's still on the market?
Yeah, they've toyed around with, you know, talking within the market, but I don't know how serious they're going to be for some of these guys, whether it be a Stephon Diggs or a Keenan Allen. I think this is probably one of those situations where they wait until the market kind of bottoms out, and if there's a guy still left at the end, then they go grab them. But I still think receiver is a position that they could address early on in the draft, if not at number 12.
So are you think there's a cheaper wide receiver option? Are there guys out there? And could we define their range like it needs to be around $5 or $6 million?
I would say it probably needs to be around 5 to 8. I mean, you're looking at a deal for Dante Fowler today that was at $8 million. It honestly surprised me. Now, the base is 6. The incentives are worth up to 8. This is the richest outside free agent deal that this team has made in a decade. So they're at least showing a little bit of willingness to open the checkbook for some outside free agents. It just depends on who Steven wants to be, quote-unquote, selectively aggressive for. But I think if you wait a couple of weeks and you see Keenan Allen still on the market and his price has come down to maybe a $5 or $6 million, I could see that being a realistic option.
Nick, this is a question that might be unfair to you, but you do live with this football team. And I was going to ask you, from what we saw yesterday with what happened with Tank and then with Micah, is it something that was surprising to you that happened that way? Or is it something that you kind of saw that potentially could happen if these two parted ways?
Yeah, it's not necessarily something I could have seen, you know, spill out on Twitter, but it's something that doesn't surprise me at the end of the day. Like when this started to pop off, honestly, when that clip came out of DeMarcus Lawrence, my first thought was Micah's going to say something about this. And surely enough, it turned into a bigger deal than I expected. But, you know, when Micah Parsons arrived in that room, you got to think about the dynamics of that room at that time. You know, Micah was the young guy, but he came in, he commanded a lot of respect for his play on the field. You know, the first team all pro, his first 3 years in the league, and, you know, walked in with an alpha presence. Already in there in DeMarcus Lawrence. And, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence having at that time 7 years under his belt, being that veteran guy, you know, those guys are going to butt heads. Those things happen. That happens in locker rooms across the league. I don't think that they ever really got off on a good foot, and it never really built on from there, and it never really got better from there. But it was never something that crossed the line of professionalism, at least from what I've been told, or crossed the line of boundaries. Like, sure, there were a couple times where they kind of had to be separated, you know, whether it be a heated camp moment or things of that nature. But it was never something that got in the way of play on the field, at least from what I have been told. But, you know, this is a situation, you go back to last year, and whenever DeMarcus Lawrence landed on the injured reserve in week 5, and Micah Parsons looked around and he was telling the media, he's like, yeah, this is my chance to step up. And I don't think that was one of those situations where it's like, hey, there's shoes that need to be filled, I'm going to step in and do it. It was more so like, hey, finally I can step in and do it. So I look at it that way, and now this is Micah's opportunity to really lead that room, and he doesn't care who anyone thinks about it, especially DeMarcus Lawrence.
What? We'll check. How does the rest of the team look at Micah? Is he liked? Is he resented at all for his podcasting? That's such a hot topic.
The podcast, I think, is overblown. When you talk to players on the team, it's kind of like the tours. You know, you talk to the majority of the players on the team, and they're like, I don't give a damn about that. You know, and you might find one or two, they're like, yeah, it can get annoying, but it is what it is. You know, I know this place. I know how this place operates. But then you look at it in the Micah case. You know, in the defensive line room, he is liked. You know, you look at Chauncey Golston and Osa Digizua that came into this league with him, you know, and they were one of the first ones to jump on Twitter and side with Micah last night. And Chauncey's, you know, at another NFC East team now. You look at Trayvon Diggs, you know, backing him up. I mean, Micah's got support on this team. And look, I think anyone can say this in any place that they work. They are going to have people that like them. They're going to have people that don't like them. That's just the nature of human beings, and that's how we, you know, operate in this world. I don't think Micah Parsons is any different. Now, granted, he's an alpha and he's a leader now, and he's going to have to step into a big role off the field defensively moving forward. There's going to be some people that, you know, take that in stride, and there's going to be some people that don't. And, you know, Micah Parsons is not the style for everybody, but I will give Micah credit for how he approached last season, because if you had told me this time last year that we would be having a conversation about Micah Parsons as a leader, I would have said you were crazy. And so I think it's a credit to him and a credit to, you know, what he did last offseason to prepare for that.
I'm with you. I think we saw a lot of growth last year, but it has also been a lot of talking, right? And when it comes to leadership, and you've been around a lot of the high school to college to the pros now, Nick, you kind of just naturally have that. It's not, I am a leader. You don't have to tell people I am a leader. Do you think that's something where they're looking on the defensive side? Like, I know Mike is saying that. You know Dak is the leader on offense. Do they have a leadership void right now on defense?
No, I don't believe so. And I think, again, that's credit to Micah being able to step in and provide that last season in the 12-plus weeks that DeMarcus Lawrence was out. You know, and there was some feeling towards the end that, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence probably could have come back at the end of the season by some players, but he chose not to and preserve his body for his next stop. And, you know, Micah Parsons, he was that leadership, that leader that they were able to turn to and be part of that. So I think, again, last year was a big credit to that. And there's going to be a lot of moving pieces on defense next year because you factor in Overshown and Trayvon Diggs might not be ready for the start of the season. You factor in that there's going to be some new faces on all three levels. They're going to need a guy at the top that can kind of command that, and I think Micah's ready for that.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You've got a new mock draft out, my friend. How did that one go? What's it looking like for the Cowboys?
Yeah, for the Cowboys, I have them picking Teteroa McMillan at 12. It's the receiver out of Arizona, the All-American. You know, as I was hashing it out, that top 12, I had Ashton Jeancey going to the Raiders at 6. I think that one just makes too much sense right now, especially with what Pete Carroll's trying to do. And then I had Chicago Bears, who could be looking for an offensive weapon potentially. You know, they've done so much to rehaul their offensive line, but they could use one more tackle to go ahead and put that final piece in place. So I have them grabbing Armand Membu out of Missouri at number 10. And the Cowboys, they get the first receiver off the board at number 12. Now, I was trying to go back more so in like the last 5 years. I was like, okay, when did the first receiver come off the board? You can go back a couple of years ago. Jaxon Smith-Njigba came off at 20. A couple of years before that, Henry Ruggs came off at 12. So, you know, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that the first receiver comes off at 12, especially when you factor in the top talent in this class and kind of how top heavy it can be at other positions. And that's where I think Teteroa McMillan will be available there at 12. Now, at number 44, I had them circling back for a corner, and I had them going and getting Trey Amos out of Ole Miss. Started his career at Louisiana Lafayette, transferred to Ole Miss, and was one of the more physical corners in this class. I love his size. I love his prototypical size. He's got that 6'1", 195 to 200-pound frame, and he does not mind getting a hand in your face and throwing you off your route right at your release. I think this is going to be a guy that Eberflus really enjoys having if they're able to land on him at 44. And, you know, when I was looking at it, I was coming out of my number 12 pick thinking, okay, they got to go get a running back at 44. And once I started really going through this list and really starting to see all the teams that need running backs, there is two separate opportunities for a run at running back in this draft before 44. You have that 20 to 27 range where Denver's in there. They could probably go ahead and pop on a first-round running back if they want to and go get a guy like Travion Henderson or a Marion Hampton. And then the very top of the second round, you have the Browns, who are going to need a running back. You know, how comfortable do they feel about the health of Nick Chubb moving forward? There's a couple more teams there in the 30s that, you know, when I got to 44, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Omarion Hampton, they were all off the board. It was really coming down to, okay, do I get Caleb Johnson out of Iowa or do I grab the corner Trey Amos out of Ole Miss and, you know, understanding how deep this running back class is, go get my running back in the third round. And that's what I chose to do.
I like what you're doing there, Nick. Nick Harris with you here in the Nation. Now, do you have a help on why they signed the guard Jones that they did? It seems like they have comparable type of players to be eligible at right guard. What's he do that they wanted to commit to?
Yeah, veteran experience I think is really valued on this team. And you look at the interior offensive line with Zach Martin now out of the question. Tyler Smith is your oldest guy in there. And it feels like Tyler Smith walked in the door yesterday. So, you know, bringing in a veteran like Robert Jones brings in veteran experience, but also kind of brings in, you know, just a guy that's been there, done that. And he started 17 games last year. He's going to be competition for these guys, but, you know, looking around the room, I still think Brock Hoffman is the leader in the clubhouse to take that right guard spot, unless they go and grab somebody in the draft that I really like. There's going to be a lot of bodies in that room competing for a spot at training camp. And to have a veteran in the mix, it certainly elevates the room.
What's Minnesota doing here with Aaron Rodgers? Is this real?
Is this coming out now?
Well, the report today is he's waiting to hear from them as they're considering if they really want him.
I'll tell you what, I know nothing about the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, but I want nothing more than for him to fulfill the Brett Favre prophecy of landing in Minnesota and then maybe getting in some tax issues after his career and just making it perfect.
That would be awesome.
What about the Croc shots?
Yeah, the rooster shots. Yeah, we'll see about that.
Appreciate you, Nick. Have a great weekend.
Have a good one, fellas. Thank
you. Yeah, Nick Harris, Star Telegram here with you in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Cowboys here, 105.3 The Fan. Chief, you good?
I just want, did he, his rules are rules. Did he say?
He did.
He said it.
I thought he did.
Said it with his mouth right there on the air.
Mm-hmm. Mama gave me 8 of them flap chicks, and Mama take away 5 of them flap chicks. I want to say hungry for the Crimson Tide.
Thank you for that cleanup there, Chief and Woolchuck. It's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420, buddy. Where are you taking us?
I'm sorry to the 817, but it's Top 10 Potato Chips, baby. It's National Potato Chip Day. I got the most popular Lay's flavors of potato chip. What is your go-to? That is next in the nation.
Shoot, yeah, here we go. It's the G-Bag Nation. Time for the Top 10 at 420 here with your guy, Woolchuck. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call Franklin Frankel 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's now time for us to go to Zach with an H. Here he is, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much, as I've got a penalty flag that's been thrown on me from the 360. I got to call a technical foul on you here, Zach. This top 10 list has been done by you before. Trust me, it has not. This is Lay's specific flavor.
So we're not in reruns right now.
Nope, because I make sure. I double check, because when you do a top 10 list like I do, I've got to make sure we're not repeating lists.
Woolchuck's buttoned up.
I'm trying.
The idea that the 360 doesn't already know that.
A watchdog, you
no,
know.
No, and I appreciate it.
That's actually me texting in.
It might be. And yeah. I appreciate the, you know, holding me accountable. I need that.
360, by the way.
And I love it.
Southwest Washington State.
Boom. Nailed it.
Boom. Get them.
It's my home
Southwest
zip home
Washington
We've definitely done chip flavors.
I like the idea of this being like Dawson's mom or dad texting in.
Yeah. This is all because I didn't put the pie in the top 10 pies.
Still lashing out.
I get it.
I don't blame her.
And I understand it. But this is just Lay's specific. And I've never done just a one specific chip brand. And this is only Lay's flavors. So we will get to that on National Potato Chip Day. Top 10 best Lay's potato chip flavors. Let me know your favorite. Limon has already come on over the text line.
Dude, I used to, I mean, you get going buck wild. You have the lime or limon Lay's chips, and you're going bite for bite with the Flamin' Hot Cheeto Puffs. So you just get that.
Combo platter?
Yeah, yeah. You're just going like, you know,
same bowl?
Handful. Yeah, either same bowl or you just double bag it and you just go bite for bite in the bag and you get that mix of that lime, the spicy. You get the different textures with the run-of-the-mill Lay's chip coupled with the puff consistency.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
I'm feeling kind of snacky over here.
Okay. Well, that
brings
up. It's
the ultimate munchie snack.
Eric Stokes, former Georgia corner, drafted by the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, Eric Stokes.
He's now in Vegas. Eric Stokes, also known as Eric Smokes, like my guy Chief over here.
Cheers.
So he was...
You just put his picture up on the wall.
Well, you were just really talking about that's weed, that's weed.
Oh, no, so I was just... Hey, I love that saying, that's weed,
so
that's
we're doing
weed.
I
love
the mind.
Cigar lounge just as much as the next guy.
What are you doing over there?
I'm just... I don't know why you're stopping down on this.
I'm not.
We're making a seamless transition into Eric Stokes, also known as Eric Smokes.
Brian's from a certain generation, you know. He was more of a Blue Dolphin guy growing up.
We know that. We know that. The ski lifts, baby. That's what it's all about. That's
you wanted to ski with me, you know.
I know.
You want to ride the chairlift with me.
I need some help getting on that lift, too. And then once we're on it, boom, baby.
You ski better with me.
I know.
You want me on that ski lift.
You need me on that ski lift. Here is his press conference, new member of the Vegas Raiders. And he's just one of us, man, just wanting to go full-on big back in it.
I ain't gonna lie, yeah. I ain't even sugarcoat it to you. Yeah, Green Bay is different. I love Green Bay. I absolutely love Green Bay. But after about 10 o'clock, there's nothing else to eat in Green Bay. So I'm really excited for like the food options here that I can really show my big back activities. And yeah, so I just can't wait.
I can really show my big back activities. Now, I don't know that you want to hear that from your starting corner.
No.
This is probably going to go overboard here. God knows what he's going to weigh in at for mini camps and OTAs. But, hell, I like the honesty.
He better get used to paying big money prices in Vegas.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, you want fish and chips from Gordon Ramsay? You better have a 50 spot.
Be careful of the beef Wellington there.
Yeah,
horror stories about the beef Wellington.
Not good.
But I think a corner, like those guys are usually – Like they run so much running.
Yeah. All day.
They got high metabolism.
He burned a bunch and burned it right all day.
Post-career, this is going to be a guy to monitor. Oh, yeah. He might swell up on you. Hopefully he's not planning on doing television.
Start looking like Maurice Jones-Drew. Two years out of the league.
Man, Eddie Lacy in the league.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Never go full Eddie Lacy. Jeff Kolb joined us yesterday and he teased a big announcement with Fox.
Mm.
And the announcement was you're going to get four Dallas Stars games. They're going to add an air on Fox 4.
Good.
Also KDFI 27. So the games include matchups with the Lightning on March 20th, ooh, the Minnesota Wild on the 24th of this month, playoff and then games, the Nashville Predators, which will be on April 3rd, and the Jets on April 10th. So that's awesome. Just another great way for you to be able to watch your Stars. If you don't have Victory Plus, you'll now be able to get them on either Fox 4 or on More 27. So pumped about that.
Tell you what, that it's looking right now. If the season ended today, the matchup would be Nashville. Am I right about
that? Sign me up for that matchup.
2-7?
Sign me up for that.
I love some good if the season ended today talk.
Yeah.
And
especially when your team's rocking and rolling.
It's getting close, man. It really, really is. Texas getting drilled right now by Tennessee, it looks like.
Young Bennett brought us predicted this, by the way.
My goodness. But I mean,
said, hey, man, do you go to a basketball school? And he goes, Dad, we're going to get beat by 20 today.
And they go to double overtime to beat A&M. That might have been enough, though. Yeah. The win over A&M might have been enough to get them in the
big win last night.
We'll see
what the guy with
Sunday.
Fake hair says.
We will see on
it's
Sunday.
It's not a total blowout. 67-54, still a chance with 8 minutes to go, Wolchuk. I know you'll keep the faith over there hooking them.
Hey, hook them, baby. All right, let's get into this top 10 Lay's potato chip flavors.
It's kind of
too windy and dusty outside.
Yeah, the wind and dust is tearing up our satellite signal.
It's getting nasty.
DirecTV was no match for the wind and dust.
Nasty. All right, National Potato Chip Day. I got the top 10 most popular Lay's potato chip flavors. All right, this is Lay's specific. And we got the limon flavor that was texted in. That is an honorable mention here.
Ooh, honorable mention. Bad take, America.
Out on the top 10.
What flavor's playing?
Just the yellow salt.
That's original.
Is that original? Did you call just it original?
Yeah, original Lay's. Yeah, classic.
Sign me up.
Yeah, those are amazing right there. With any, a lot of hot sauce sprinkled on them?
Yes.
Oh, any sandwich you want to go with there.
That's the only flavoring I need on my Lay's.
Yeah.
It's just the different hot sauces.
Nice list. Thanks.
All right, I'm done.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Some people are trying to get into the your brain in terms of strategy for today because you have the chip opportunity. You capitalized on it, but there was also a pie opportunity with today being 3.14 day.
Yeah, but I've done so many pies.
See, there you go.
22 over 7.
There are some pie sales going around town, like with dessert spots and pizza spots.
Okay, well, that might be something to look into. Yeah, it absolutely should be. Flamin' Hot. Flamin' Hot Lay's comes in at number 12.
Solid. Yeah, there's not enough nuance in that hot. You know, that flaming hot, that's just like, hey, here's a tablespoon of cayenne pepper. Bang. Right?
Yeah.
I want them to be some damn artistry in your flaming hot.
Okay. This list is getting met with some resistance.
All right. It's the same. It feels it's all the hot.
Blame the rest of your Americans.
I know, I'm just saying.
This is out of my control. This is America's
Dawson
most consumed Lay's flavors. All right.
Dawson pulls one of my tricks and goes, oh, God, no way.
I do feel like all the Flamin' Hot dust.
That's why they called him Little Debbie Downer Dawson growing up.
I'll hate on every one of these, Wolchuk.
I know you will.
Not careful.
I know you will. No, I don't care. It ain't me. It's America.
There you go.
Number 11, Lightly Salted. Lightly Salted comes in at number 11.
Not bad.
Okay, not bad.
It might be a decent number two.
It's like, hey, do you like the classic
might
ones?
Be my runner up.
You want a worse version of it? Here's the lightly salt.
Sometimes they're too salty. You know, sometimes chips can be too salty. Like you rub your hand on your shirt and there's just like this giant grease skid down there.
Wait, are you guys rubbing off the dust on your fingers and not licking it off?
I don't think you're doing
time
that.
To time.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Are you a rub the dust off and not?
I'm just incorporating it onto the sandwich I'm eating.
So you're not even just eating chips by themselves.
I'm eating the chip, and it's going on to the sandwich.
You're sopping it up in that bun.
Yeah.
That's next level right there. That's genius.
Yeah.
Veteran move.
Don't wipe your finger. Just incorporate
it in the
layer.
Chips in the top layer.
All right, here we go.
The dust on it gets on the bun.
Oh, okay. I understand now.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that. Number 10 is Sweet Southern Heat. I'm just trying to move along here. Sick of
that sounds nice. Sweet Southern Heat. Probably got a good flavor profile too.
Sweet,
a little
heat.
Spicy.
Okay,
a little
that's
barbecue sauce.
What do you think about the dust on that one?
I've never had that one.
Okay, number 9 is Chile Limon.
Oh, yes. Now,
is this better than the limon?
These are...
It's Chile limon.
Yeah. Doing too much here now.
It definitely...
We're doing way too much.
No, you're not. You're not doing too much with that. That is it.
Chief,
that is
you didn't say this one initially.
It's a
don't
damn
go
good chip.
I think you're... Are you ball psyched?
No, I'm very serious. I'm very serious about that chip.
We got... Number 8 is the sweet and spicy honey Lays.
I haven't tried that one.
Okay, I tried it once. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Got you feeling nicey?
It does. Number 7. I can't say I've tried this one, but I'd be in. Honey barbecue. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's very common in our house.
You like the honey barbecue Lays?
It's pretty good.
6 is salt and vinegar.
Is the honey barbecue better than just the general like black bag barbecue?
I think so.
Yeah. I appreciate the honey sweetness.
A little kick.
This is now salt and vinegar. Too strong.
Oh. Dude, no.
Give me the sea salt, maybe.
Lucius, you're in on salt and vinegar with me, right?
No. No.
Is it the salt and vinegar?
I thought you liked salt and vinegar.
No, sorry.
Lucius just pushed you under the water.
Sorry, buddy. Yeah, sorry,
I thought you were going to have the life raft ready to go
I'm sorry, buddy.
Hey, I got it for you, dude. I love that
chip. Thank you. I know you did.
It's that damn vinegar on there for me.
We get like an assortment pack that has 6 or 7 different kinds of chips in there, and the salt and vinegars are always the last ones.
That's crazy.
And I eat them. Good.
That's great value, though, if that's your last pick of the draft.
Man.
It's not horrible. You got yourself a starter.
It's a fermented chip. I'm good, bro.
It's not as bad.
Mr. Irrelevant, I'd say irrelevant.
He turned into Brock Purdy, this guy.
It's not as bad as probably what Wolchuk's going to say next.
No, you like this one. Top 5. Now, number 5 is the classic Lays.
Should be number 1.
That should be Mount Rushmore. One.
Minimum. There's 2 in here that are hideous, though, that you haven't got to yet.
Number 4. You think this is a hideous one?
Probably.
Dill pickle?
Yep. That's one of them.
I can't say I've ever tried the dill pickle.
I have in other brands, and they're actually, they're decent. They're edible, but I haven't tried the Lay's.
The Lay's dill pickle? What about, dill pickle? Are we throwing that one out, Lucius?
Yeah, no. I'm not eating that.
You won't catch a cramp that day.
I don't know what it is. I do feel like as a society, there is an obsession over pickles.
Yes.
Are we trying to do too much with the pickles?
The people that like diehard pickle lovers are like very serious.
Like we're doing pickle flavored everything.
Make your own.
Oh, here we go. We got a bully sneeze. Keep the mic on.
I'm trying to fight it, dude. Yeah, I'm trying to eat this sneeze.
That was impressive.
Oh man. Okay.
It's like a whole pickle museum here or something. Like a big old pickle store here in like Fort Worth. I believe it is. Mm.
It's called the Velvet Box.
Okay.
Okay, top 3 here as we move along.
Thank God we got you on this show.
Sometimes you want to walk something back. That might be one.
That's
of
okay. We'll clean that up in post. Lucius is really good at saving us. Top 3 Lay's potato chip flavors. Number 3 is the barbecue.
Pretty good chip.
I think it's phenomenal. Number 2, sour cream and onion.
There we go. There we go. Throw them boys on the sandwich. Push it down and get that little crunch.
I think sour cream onion is a Mount Rushmore sour cream flavor. Company.
I just, the volume of the sour
cream. Like,
most chips I could just punish a bag of. There's something about the sour cream and onion that like at some point it becomes.
It's too much for you?
At some point it becomes too much. Really?
I can't stop it, bro.
I love the sour cream and onion. I think that I get into that with the salt and vinegar sometimes, though.
Yeah, there's an element
after
to that.
A lot. It's like, is this hurting?
It's a lot,
a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I should stop. Maybe I should just slow this down a little bit. But number 1, the best Lay's potato chip. I know you're on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
Cheddar and sour cream. Cheddar and sour cream is really good. Yikes!
Yeah.
God, dude, your palate is so bad.
I like the Ruffles one. Do you like, is the Lay's one better than the Ruffles?
I like the Ruffles because you can dip them in the Dean's sour cream and onion.
Yes.
They hold together.
Yeah, the more
Ruffles,
vitality.
The Ruffles, the ridges, it's a superior dipping chip.
Yeah, vessel.
Remy had this bag of chips the other night, and she goes, Daddy, you want some? I said, no, they're sour cream. And she goes, no, they're not sour cream. I'm like, what are you talking about? You can't read. But she showed me the bag closer, and it looked like the sour cream bag, but it was like cheddar something or another. Cheddar queso or something like that.
Hell no. Get this away.
I'm like, wow, you're right. They're not.
You still don't want any.
Hey, you're both of them taking some chips from a kid because they're usually like all soggy and everything by the time you get them.
They've been in and out of the bag 5 times. Yeah. I think she actually turned them all over on the kitchen table and then proceeded to put them all back into your point. Jason Garrett on the drafting of Dak Prescott. We have cuts, 3 audio cuts for you. We'll hear from Jay Jeezy and more coming up next year in the Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. There was a time just over 5 years ago where Jason Garrett would be heard on the Fan regularly.
you know, a couple of times a week there for press conferences and the Jason Garrett show and all that. And by the end, it drove people crazy. But now, you know, with time to reflect, get some distance, I like hearing his perspective on how things went, where they might have gone wrong, what could have happened differently. Or just tell him the story of, you know, what we witnessed in those 10 plus painful seasons of the Garrett era. Here he is. We have him on the Dan Patrick Show doing some professional broadcasting. Garrett, I think, a pretty dang good broadcaster when he's there in that studio. But talking about, 2016 in the draft, they got Zeke. They ended up with Prescott in the fourth round there. We have three cuts. And here is Jason Garrett talking about round one.
But the quarterbacks went first, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. And then, you know, the next guy up was Paxton Lynch. So there's conversation at the bottom of the first round about Paxton Lynch. Should we trade up? Should we do this? Should we do that? I mean, a lot of conversations about that. And then, you know, there were other guys. I'm trying to think who was in the, maybe in the third round, somebody went. And then it got to Connor Cook. And the Connor Cook discussion was more about he played in a drop back system at Michigan State. He was under center. You know, we felt like Dak Prescott was one of the five guys in the draft that could be a starting quarterback for us in the league. But he was a guy, and I'll be honest with you, I thought it was going to take him time because he played in the gun.
Yeah,
there was a lot of quarterback run. And at the time, that's not what we were doing. And so he had all the stuff, but it was like, you know, he's probably 2 or 3 years away. Well, sure enough, he wins 13 games as a rookie. So there goes that part of the evaluation. But we had no doubt about Dak in terms of we were all in on this guy can be our quarterback in the future. It just seemed like Connor Cook was more ready to be our backup right now and then possibly the quarterback in the future.
So I think the takeaway there is just how hard it is to find a good quarterback. They're looking at multiple guys thinking they're better than Dak, and none of these guys really – you know, had the highs that Dak did. And I think it's why they want nothing to do with trying to move on from a guy like Tony Romo or Dak. It's just too hard.
It was weird. Like, I love listening to Jason Garrett and the storytelling throughout this entire conversation with Dan Patrick. But that was weird to me. I mean, I'm sure, like, NFL teams must think that. Like, okay, Connor Cook's a better backup for us right now. We wouldn't be comfortable putting Dak in the game. But if he says there, we were very confident Dak could be our starting quarterback. If you've got a guy that you think is a starter versus a dude that you think, oh, he can be a right now backup, wouldn't you always just go with the guy that you envision being a starter?
Yes.
Like, to me, it's a little bit weird there. I think he's doing a little bit of saving face. Like,
yeah,
we didn't. We thought Dak was below these guys, but to save our ass because we ended up being awesome, there was no doubt that we thought he could be the starter.
I mean, they jumped into that immediately in 2016. I remember having Jerry Jones on. We were hosting the midday show, and we're like, when did you think that, you know, Dak could be the kind of player to go on this kind of run? I think at the time they were 8-0 or 8-1 or something. I forget how it all went. But Jerry said, you know, when we drafted him, we felt like he could be this good. And I always wondered, like, how much of that is an honest projection and how much of that is just kind of revisionist history. And I feel like if you knew he would have done that, he would have taken him a little bit earlier. But cut two here is on the process of former Cowboys quarterbacks coach Wade Wilson discovering Dak.
I'll give you a good story about that. You know, Wade Wilson was our quarterback coach for years. I don't know if you remember Wade, but he passed away a few years ago. But he was one of my teammates. He played 19 years in the NFL and then was our quarterback forever. And Wade never liked quarterbacks. Like, he would go work guys out. And you know, in for the draft, I mean, and I would say, hey, Wade, what'd you think of that guy? Ah, he can't play. I mean, this went on for years, Dan. It went on for years. And I'm like, he can't play. I'm like, at some point, we got to like one of these guys. We'll never draft anybody. And I'll never forget it. I think it was a Friday night. He called me early March leading up to that 2016 draft. And he said, I think we got one.
Oh, wow.
I said, what? He's like, yeah, I'm down here in Starkville, Mississippi. I think we got our quarterback. And he just raved about Dak. He loved him.
Thank you, Wade Wilson.
Yeah, it was a great get, you know.
And, this guy can't play. This guy can't play. We got one.
Definitely a loss. I mean, I agree with Wade. I like having Wade, you know, and maybe that's part of why they, you know, never thought about going and drafting other guys or moving on because Wade Wilson was there. But most of the players coming from college can't play, you know, and it's a good reason to try to hang on to a good one as long as you can.
What they
what he failed to mention, which makes the story kind of weird, is they thought they had Dak Prescott.
Oh, with Jameel Showers?
Jameel Showers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't mention Jameel Showers.
Yeah, they thought. Now, and the scouts will admit that. They'll admit that. And that's kind of sometimes as a scout, you have to say, well, we got the drafting gods were with us today. Because he mentioned, and I went back and looked. I was just curious. Christian Hackenberg from Penn State went at the second round at pick 51. Yeah. And then Jacoby Brissett went at pick 91 in the third. And then it was Connor Cook and others that the quarterbacks went.
Well, and I cut it out, but Charles Tapper is the guy they took. They moved back. They took Tapper even before they took Dak.
He was a compensatory pick.
Yeah.
And you couldn't trade him at the time, the picks. So they stood in there and made. But they thought when Dak Prescott was brought up, they're like, don't we have that in Jameel Showers?
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, not a guy that you could rely on, but a good athlete and maybe a project. But the guy ended up being outstanding from the very beginning. Now, one of the concerns going into the draft was just his makeup as a player. The other was the DUI that he got in college. And here's Jason Garrett on how he grilled Prescott about that part.
So we get him up on the board, and I'm talking really fast and put it all in. And I'm like, all right, you're up. It's an empty whiteboard. Give me the first play. And he starts talking and starts going through it. And about 10 seconds into, I'm like, hey, stop. Hey, give me the story about this DUI.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And so I'm like, hey, get me to the bottom of this. And so he tells me the story. It was fantastic. It was so accountable and specific detail. I had a couple of margaritas after the workout. I was going 38 in the 30. I got pulled over, whatever. I mean, it was like, and it was clean, and it was direct, and it was accountable, and I'm sorry for it, and whatever. All right, I'm keep going. And so he draws up the rest of the play, and we're asking him questions. I'm like, stop. Hey, go back again. You know, you're the face of the program at Mississippi State. You know, this whole thing, I'm peppering him. And he kind of stops and gives me another explanation. Okay? Third time. He's drawing up another play. I stop one more time. And he turns, and it was a great answer. He said, I said, tell me what happened again on this deal. And he said, Coach, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I told you exactly what happened. I took accountability for it, whatever. And it was just a Dak Prescott answer. And I said to myself, I need to be quiet. So he finishes up the interview, and he's phenomenal. I can't tell you how good he is. Mentally, he's just off the charts. So sure enough, he comes to the Cowboys, has an amazing start to his career, all of that. Wade Wilson tragically passes away about 4 years later. So we're at the repast after the funeral. And Dak comes out to me and says, Coach, I never told you this story. He said, you remember you did that meeting with me before the draft where you were talking really fast and you kept interrupting me and all of that? I said, yeah. He's like, Wade Wilson told me all the answers to the questions before I went in there. I said, he's going to ask you this. So he said, when I got a little frustrated when you kept peppering the questions, I wasn't mad about the question about the DUI. I was mad that I was forgetting all the stuff that Wade had already told me. So it was a setup.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. That is great.
It's Wade Wilson's guy.
That's
man.
What you do when you love a player, man. You
time him at 38 yards.
Yep. Yeah.
Shout out to Deadpool. He saw his quarterback. He said, that's my dude. I'm going to make sure you get drafted by us here. Thank God he did, man. I mean, they navigated some minefields there. I mean, he even acknowledges Jerry liked Paxton Lynch. They liked Connor Cook. There were a lot of other quarterbacks they were looking to take. But revisionist history, I mean, Dak Prescott ended up working out as a Dallas Cowboy.
Or did he? You know, I think there was that's represented in the text for sure.
Not a Super Bowl champion, but he's definitely given you at least a decade of being able to compete.
Yeah, and worse quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl than Dak Prescott. I say that in jest, I guess. I mean, he's definitely a major hit. You wouldn't want to give him back. What you'd want to give back is the front office. I think Dak has more than done his part when it comes to, you know, being good enough to win. All right, it's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan on a Friday night, 3 hours down. We have 2 more hours of sports coming up, including what you're drinking, what you're thinking, coming up at 5:20. Love to hear what people might weigh in on when it comes to Tank and Micah or any other of our big sports stories. The Stars are back in action tonight, and the Texas Rangers are playing baseball this evening at 8 o'clock in Arizona. It's a game you'll be able to listen to right here on The Fan after a one-hour Fan After Dark. Chief, what are we doing next?
Football's finest. We award our Liar of the Week. Plus, we decode a new football term next in the nation.